This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Live's top four at four.
Hour number two of the drive underway. 4 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Rick Butler is in the mix with us this afternoon. Top four, Rick.
All right, gentlemen, here we go. Number one. All eyes will be on the Tennessee baseball team tomorrow. 7 o'clock p.m. Saturday night at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Tennessee's going to be hosting number 14 LSU in the first of their potentially three-game series coming up in Knoxville. The game will be broadcasted on television on ESPN2. And in case you are going to the game or maybe going to be on campus, the Big Orange, I want to say Block Party. There you go. I wanted to say tailgate. Big Orange Block Party will be starting at about 4:30 p.m. on Saturday. And the other days, it'll open about 2 hours before first pitch.
Fantastic weekend.
Man, they got a big TV. It looks pretty. Looks like it's going to be a pretty cool deal if you're going to be out there.
It was not a TV, right? We're going big screen. Are we going projection?
Yeah, I would assume so.
At least 100 inches, right? Probably bigger than that. We have a big wall or something to put it on.
Yeah, you need a giant, I don't know. I mean, I would say a giant bed sheet, but you got to get something massive. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do.
You're going to the game.
I am.
River, are you going? Do you have tickets? He's working. Bear and I are doing voluntary reaction.
I was going to ask and make sure that's still going to be a part of the weekend because it's going to be crucial. Even for the people who are going to be there right when you leave the game, there's only one thing to be listening to, and that's going to be the voluntary reaction.
Me and Russ either dancing around the station or crying in our beers.
Yeah, the one thing – I don't want to do the rage out thing. I'm so sick of doing –
I don't see how
bad
we
could. Voluntary reactions.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
If we lose,
may not be the longest one.
Yeah, if we lose, we might come on here and take calls for an.
But
hour
we're not going to rage out about it.
No,
you know, two games left in the series at that point, and I'm not raging out about this
much.
Might be a little ticked about.
We'll probably rage out.
Yeah,
we'll rage out a lot. It'll be a total meltdown.
As everybody wants. Here we go. Number two. Guys, continuing the Super Regional talk, there are four games that will be underway today. Two of them, one of them is a final. One of them
That's
is in the middle. But Vanderbilt, unfortunately, defeated East Carolina today by a score of 2-0. They're in Nashville.
They're going.
It seems
East Carolina ain't beating Vanderbilt. So they got Kumar pitched today, the three-hit shutout.
Yeah, he looked good.
And Leiter has, I mean, he looked awesome last week. So, yeah, they're going.
So they're going. Well, almost. Stanford, number seven Stanford, is up on the road on Texas Tech 4-0 in the bottom of the third inning. Red Raiders need to make a little bit of a comeback here quickly. Then the other two games that have not had that have not gone underway tonight, 6 o'clock p.m., you got number one Arkansas and NC State. Then you have number five Arizona hosting number 13 Ole Miss at 9 o'clock.
They take their baseball seriously down there in Arizona. That one's at Ole Miss?
That one's going to be hosting
at Arizona?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I did not know that Arizona was a little bit of a baseball –
I couldn't name you a player on either team, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know that I know who's going to win. I'm rooting for Arizona. But I won't hate watch them the way I would Vanderbilt, LSU, Florida,
Arkansas,
Alabama, somebody like that. Yeah.
Sure, no doubt. All right, here we go, number three.
I just don't want Lane Kiffin to have any jollies because I'm petty like that. Sorry, go ahead, Rick.
Good point.
Guys, the UFC middleweight title clash between Adesanya and Vettori is officially official, as both gentlemen have successfully made weight on Friday morning for Saturday's main event of UFC 263 in Arizona. Speak of the devil there. The middleweight title fight limit is 185 pounds. Both men are in. Both men are ready to go.
Who you got?
I don't know. Isn't Adesanya coming off a loss?
Yeah, but he was fighting weight. He was fighting,
that's what I thought.
Light heavyweight. And he's back down to middleweight now.
I don't know. I've really enjoyed their back and forth. It's been a little pro wrestling-esque. Their comments on Thursday. Wish we'd have even had time to get into them on the show, but it's been exciting.
The Vettori guy's run his mouth a lot.
I
just think that when you lose the first match, you can't really say much heading into the rematch. You have to sit there. You just have to do your talking. If you win the rematch, then by all means, run your mouth. But I feel like, I mean, he lost, and he's talking all that noise. I think he's going to lose again. I think Adesanya's going to smash him.
I'm taking Adesanya. If you're saying the only loss that he has is when he had to go up a little bit, otherwise he's 20-0. Give me that guy to defend. And still.
What about Leon Edwards and Nate Diaz? A lot of people saying this Edwards guy is he's the big favorite. He's on a big win streak. And Nate Diaz, a little bit older. They don't make him any tougher than the Diaz brothers, though, man.
No, they don't.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
I don't know. I really don't have a – I don't know which way to lean. Are you leaning a certain way on that?
I don't know. I don't know a ton about Edwards. He seems like the younger fighter. He's on his way up. Diaz probably on his way down. So I think smart money probably on Edwards. But love watching Nate Diaz fight, man. I'll be there.
I love watching Figueiredo as well. He's going to be in the flyweight.
Yeah,
co-man.
Yeah, the little guys.
I like watching the little guys.
The luchadors.
Like the Energizer Bunny of UFC. But anyways, here we go. Moving right along. Fourth and final point to get to. Guys, we have unfortunately have a sad anniversary to talk about today. As 6 years ago today, a man by the name of Virgil Runnels passed away. Although you may know him better as the common man, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. 6 years ago, we lost a great one.
Seminal
American
figure
dream,
in
Dusty
the,
Rhodes.
Yeah, seminal figure in the history of professional wrestling. I mean, there would be no Hogan, no Macho Man without him.
He went toe to toe with Flair. I made that one. He once had a line to Flair. I'll never forget it. He said, "Ric Flair, the stratosphere is reserved for you and me." I always thought that was you really knew that those two guys were top dogs. But my absolute favorite, all time favorite, Dusty quote is when he had here. He said, it was just before a match, too. We just watched a couple minutes ago. He said, "The man of the hour, the man with the power. I am the hit maker, the record breaker. I got style and grace, a pretty face. I'll make your back crack, your liver quiver. Ooh. If you ain't into this match, you got the wrong address. Superstar when the other wrestlers are smiling and joking. The dream be, woo, cooking and smoking." Unbelievable.
Wait, did you write down that entire riff?
No. I went back and found it, but I've always known it as one of my favorites.
You found a printout of it.
Yeah. The man of the hour, the man with the power. You should use that as your next intro.
I'm just thinking of some guy finding that video on YouTube and then transcribing it for his website word by word.
Well, he did it for the Rest in Peace article. So he obviously put into a little work for the guy's death. So I'm reading an article from a while back, but it went out and transcribed it. No big deal.
All right, there you have it. That is the top four at four this afternoon on the Fan Run Radio, brought to you by our friends at G&J Auto Graphics. Did you see what they did for one of our listeners, Teslas?
They gave him the hookup. That is one of the coolest looking wraps I've ever seen in my life. And on a Tesla. On a Tesla, it's amazing.
That's sick, man. They had like this matte purple that was kind of, I can't even describe it, man. It was wild. Not, and I'll be honest, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's probably not something I would be driving around in. But if I were a younger man and had a Tesla, maybe. Houston and I were over at their shop a couple of weeks ago, and they had a white Tesla in there. and they were putting this blue wrap on it, like this just bright, indescribably bright blue on it. And it was a female's Tesla, and oh, man, it popped. It popped. They were doing – they were putting this wrap on another car. This guy was like he was a big I guess constitutionalist. And so he had like an eagle on the top of his car.
What?
You can do any kind of drawing and they can print it out and imprint it on your car.
What if this is like the future of cars? Because how, like, I know that you were saying that maybe the purple isn't the style for you, but I bet you could get one of these nice kind of shiny metallic yet also matte colors.
I like the
and matte, it looks real.
I like the matte grays, matte blacks. And that's another thing they do. You don't have to have some grand vision. If you've got like an older Accord or Camry or something that's got a couple of dents and scratches in it, and you just want to make it look new without having to buy a new car, you can take it over there and they'll smooth out the edges and do a complete color change on your car and make it look awesome.
Tony, maybe it's the future. Like when I was car shopping a couple of years ago, I wish there was an option that I could have gotten a matte black car. But then you look at guys like this who do the wraps. That's how you do it right there. It's pretty cool.
Cars are so expensive right now. I mean, that's a real cost effective way to get your ride looking nice. Check them out online, gnjauto.com, gnjauto.com. That's GNJ Auto Graphics. Let them know Fan Run sent you. So we get back to it here this afternoon. We ever find out, is Golden Corral, have they shut down as a business, or are they still punching out there?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, the one on Clinton Highway is still closed. I drive past there all the time. But then I heard tell that the one in the Tri-Cities may have reopened, which would be the most Tri-Cities thing ever.
I don't want to – I mean, I probably wouldn't have set foot in Golden Corral last year during the pandemic or anything, but
I wouldn't step foot in one before the pandemic.
Oh, you and your ivory tower.
No, I'm just – you were like the least and you call – you refer to yourself sometimes as a little bit of a germaphobe. But then you'll take all these risks.
These what?
Risks.
I don't think it's that big a risk, man. I mean, you just got to be smart about it. Like, make sure your meat's cooked. And
meat, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's got all those people hovering over it.
They were, they've got glass over the food and everything.
Yeah.
Golden Corral's trending on Twitter this afternoon. And I had to look it up. I finally found it. This woman tweeted out that, flashback, my mother is dying and our family has gathered. Last meal out all together. She picked Golden Corral as her last meal. And she says, every time I hear the name Golden Corral, see the restaurant, I think of my mom and I smile. Golden Corral is family love. How about that? How about that? Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Bear. Golden Corral. It's about family. It's about love. It's about the memories. And that's the way it is for me, too.
Down from E. coli from the chocolate fountain.
It's also the only place that you can get a steak that's half medium rare and half well done all at the same time.
I've not been to Golden Corral in a long time, but I used to go all the time because, like, when my...
Really? Because I only know one person.
When my daughter was young, I'm talking like, she's still young, she's 13, but when she was like 4, 5, 6 years old and I would be left alone with her and have to go and provide... She loved Golden Corral, and we would go in there and fill up. And she just could not believe, as with childlike wonder, she'd go back and tell my wife, who would never go to such a place with us. She would say, Mom, you missed it. They had everything. That was always, they have everything.
I mean, I've always said.
All the food.
Your old lady's the brains of your outfit. That doesn't surprise me a bit. She won't go there. It's disgusting. Here you are taking your princess there. God knows. I mean, thank God she didn't get sick from it. Have you ever drank from the chocolate fountain, Russell?
No, I usually steer clear. I don't have much room for dessert at Golden Corral. Those yeast rolls, man. I fill up. I'm here for the yeast rolls at Golden Corral.
So the like one of the overarching stories, part of this is that the Knoxville one is closed, right? Like, is that why?
Well, I'm getting some feedback right now on the Twitter machine that the Pigeon Forge, GOCO, as Colonel Blanton refers to it, we're going GOCO.
GOCO.
He says the Pigeon Forge GOCO is still open.
Which that's the least surprising thing surprising. I've ever heard.
You want GOCO, you got to go to Pigeon Forge.
Whew. The Pigeon Forge GOCO.
The Pidgefo GOCO, if you want.
Got to be honest. You
never been to Golden Corral?
No.
Wow.
So, first off, no.
I mean, with the amount of tourists, what's the chances that some of these variants of COVID are actively alive inside the, what'd you call it, the Pidgefor GOCO?
You need it. It's good for you. Give you that herd immunity. Get you those Golden Corral. Nothing makes you immune like the Golden Corral variant of COVID. GOCO. GOCO COVID.
Just G COVID.
Yeah.
The GOCO variant?
I will tell you right
now. GOCO.
The way to solve this, a lot of heartache could have been saved if we had just done last year, everybody go to Golden Corral. Just everybody go. Get it out of the system.
Pick one day.
I mean, we couldn't all go, like all of humanity.
No.
The entire country couldn't
That's
go
true.
In one day.
Good
you
got
to spread it out. Let's not get crazy here,
Good
Rick.
Point.
You
Good
spread
point.
It out over a week or two.
So, and speaking about other things here in the city, I can't stop looking at the pictures of this of the dicks here. I just saw another one on Twitter.
Of
Chance apparently was over there.
Yeah.
He about had an anxiety attack.
Really?
Me too. I had to walk out of there.
Really?
Dude. I couldn't.
It intimidates the big dicks.
Me too.
Intimidate the hell out of Chance Collins.
It's too
wow.
much.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
thought Chance would embrace the dicks.
I walked in there on
one would think.
I walked in there Sunday, and first of all, there's another radio station broadcasting there. The classic rock stations there.
You didn't start any beef with them.
They've
you
got food trucks out front. I mean, it took a long time to find a place to park. And I go in there, and there's people everywhere, man. It's a madhouse.
I ain't going in there.
I can't even remember what I was going. I was going to look at some golf stuff. And that's like on the second floor. There, it's two floors. There's an elevator. The Dix is so big, it's got an elevator in it.
I mean,
yeah.
the
I mean,
rock
was,
climbing wall is insane.
I was at Westtown today. I saw it.
Wow.
I saw
okay,
that
so,
giant, just big dicks store.
Riddle me this. Do you think there's more people inside the Westtown Mall or inside the dicks? Like
know,
at any given
was,
time?
I'd say.
The mall was popping today.
Listen,
really?
When yeah. I was there Sunday, I would imagine that dicks accounted for at least 50%
That's
of
what I was curious.
The people that were at Westtown Mall.
Right. It could be a big boom for the mall. Other 40% were the movie theater, though.
Yeah, there were. I mean, it was. I walked around for a little bit, walked up the stairs, and looked around. But I mean, golly, there were so many people there. And I'm sure it's the grand opening. You know, it's a weekend and everything. It'll probably chill out as we go along here and become a little bit more accessible. But I feel you, Chance Collins. I had a little social anxiety in the Big Dicks as well.
I would like to go though. I would like to hit some golf balls in the Big Dicks. It's got like the whole virtual thing. We can have a little bit of a competition even, and then it's not going all the way out to the range and stuff like that. Like I think that'd be pretty cool.
They've got a bunch of those.
Yeah, I'd love to go.
Stuff in there where you can go. You can
batting
go
cages maybe.
What about the when is Top Golf coming?
So I heard that was on maybe like stall or hiatus or something.
Oh,
let me check.
Because of
go
COVID,
super quick.
And we're gonna get Top Golf out in Farragut.
I felt like that plan was canceled at some point. No, it's moving forward again as of March 2021.
All right,
very cool.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Rusty Enzer joins us in just a moment to talk Tennessee baseball. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Keep it tuned right here.
The Drive.
Down the hours to the Super Regional. Tennessee and LSU this weekend at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Rusty Enzer, VFL, joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Rusty. How are you, sir?
Russell, I don't think you and I have ever talked about UT baseball the second week of June since we've known each other, have we? In a good way.
not like this, my friend. It is. I mean, this is what we've been looking for. I mean, we've seen it like this before, but here we are. I mean, this is why you hired this guy. This is why they made the decision to move on from Dave Serrano a couple of years ago. You bring in Tony Vitello, and it took 4 years, but here we are. We're at the precipice. It doesn't get much bigger than this, aside from an actual trip to Omaha.
It's pretty exciting, I'll tell you. Last weekend was certainly a step in the right direction. It's just another building block that Tony's doing right now for Tennessee. And I don't know if they're going to win or not, but, I hopefully people – I mean, obviously we all want Tennessee to win and make it to the College World Series, but let's just enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And it's been something special. It will – Here's what I told Tony as well. It will never feel like this again.
Yeah.
It almost feels like the first time. And this team has done some miraculous things this year. So if he stays here for another 15 or 20 years, we'll probably have multiple runs to the College World Series and things like that. But none of them will feel like this one. That's for sure. So let's enjoy tomorrow.
Absolutely. To quote Forner, it feels like the first time. Feels like the very first time.
It feels like the first time in a very long time, that's for sure. That's definitely
awesome. Yeah, man. We were talking about that earlier. It's looking ahead, and I totally agree with you. We should live in the moment and enjoy the ride and enjoy this weekend. But I do wonder, like, how do you sustain this? Because I do think that if the scenario you're talking about, which we all hope happens, where Vitello stays here and this just becomes the regular, we're in the NCAA tournament every year fighting to go to Omaha very often, then you won't have this level of anticipation. There's this new car smell. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm probably not doing a good job describing it right now, Rusty, but you know what I'm saying, right? It will be different if Vitello stays here and this becomes the norm.
Oh, there's no doubt. Just picture Tennessee becoming Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Florida. Those are the teams that Tennessee needs to look up to, so to speak. Those teams have sustained winners for 10-plus years, right? So what we're going to be talking about is not making a regional. People are going to be upset because they didn't win the regional, or
yeah,
they didn't get to host,
yeah,
or they didn't go to the College World Series and things like that. So the expectation level is going to change. And Tony's smart enough. He's going to know that. But as long as you're in the top half of the SEC, you're going to be playing in regionals. And once you get to the tournament, anything can happen. Because once you make the NCAA tournament, the magic number is 5. The teams that get 5 wins make it to the College World Series. And that's what it boils down to. Tennessee's got 3 of them. Now they just need 2 more.
If there was no capacity limit, how many tickets, how many fans do you think would we be able to fill up a major league stadium? How many people do you think would go over there?
Well, based on the number of people that have texted me this week, I don't know why people think that I have, like, apparently 100 tickets, able to give away. But, I mean, I'm getting calls from people right and left. When do I get tickets? How can I get tickets? Do you have any tickets? It would be bad if we moved this super regional to Smokies Park, but we could easily sell that out. No problem. They could sell out 10,000 easily.
Rusty Edzer with us this afternoon. Rusty, is LSU better now than they were the last time they were in Knoxville?
Well, they're certainly playing for more. Because they're not only are they playing to go to the College World Series, but they're also playing for their head coach. So the sense of urgency is a little bit more. Now, are they better? I think they are. I mean, they played better the last half of the season. I think Tennessee played LSU at the right time, and they played Ford at the right time. I'm not taking anything away from any of those wins or anything like that, but both of those teams, now Florida, of course, went 0-2 in the tournament. But they were playing better the last half of the season as well. But you know, Paul Menary's won over 1,500 games. He's won a national championship with LSU, and as most people know that are listening, that he is retiring at the end of the season. So they're obviously a lot of motivation playing for their coach and things like that. But I think it was – I don't think it was a huge surprise that they made the NCAA tournament field, but to win the Eugene Regional was probably a little bit of a surprise. So maybe that's what they've been able to congratulate their coach with on their last year, a regional appearance – I mean a regional win, make an appearance in the Supers. I think Tennessee will win this weekend. But, yes, LSU is better. But here's the key. They're missing one big arm, and that's Jaden Hill. He was the guy that pitched game two against Tennessee. He's out. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. He's probably going to be a first-round pick, too.
Yeah, that was the guy I was kind of worried about. And so he's not out there. Marceau, I guess, is the guy they're most likely to throw Saturday. And he's one of those guys, Rusty, they pitched him twice. Yeah. In the regional, and you might see some of that this weekend. We were debating whether or not – we haven't really seen Vitello do any of that so far, but we've never seen him in this situation where you could see some of those junk rotations. I shouldn't call them junk rotations, but just like a winner-take-all mentality. If you got to throw a guy twice this weekend, you do what you got to do.
Well, if Tennessee would have played on Monday, Chad Dallas probably would have pitched at some point in time in the game if it was close. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Landon Marceau and Chad Dallas are very similar. They're not going to light up the gun with velo, but they have good fastballs, but their out pitches are both breaking pitches. They both throw a nice overhand 12-6 curveball. They both have good depth. So that's what you're going to see a lot tomorrow night. And, you know, I think Tennessee's got a little bit more pitching depth than LSU. LSU's got obviously a very powerful team. I have never seen Lindsey Nelson Stadium play so small as it did last weekend. I mean, it was like home run derby out there. And depending on what the wind does tomorrow night, if it's the same as last Friday night, I think you'll see a high-scoring game, a lot of home runs, because LSU can bang it around the yard too.
Rusty, we haven't talked about the Drew Gilbert shot against Wright State yet. It's so bizarre that we keep having these moments, right, where you had the Evan Russell grand slam, and then that was topped by the a couple of walk-offs, the Max Ferguson walk-off against Arkansas. And then, I mean, it's hard to imagine – something topping Drew Gilbert, what he did a week ago, but you've learned never to say never with this team.
I mean, it's been one of the biggest hits in UT history. We've said that three or four times this year. And I think right now Drew Gilbert's certainly in the lead. But now let's go back to the third week of March when LSU played here. Now, game two was suspended and LSU was winning, I think it was maybe in the eighth or ninth inning, I can't remember. LSU was winning, Tennessee rallied. But anyway, Drew Gilbert was really the reason that Tennessee was not only able to win the series, but sweep the series. So we had to come back on Sunday to finish game two before game three started. Well, Gilbert hit an 0-2 pitch with a runner on second. LSU was up by a run. And Gilbert tied the game on an 0-2 pitch, and then he hit a walk-off home run on the bottom of the 11th to win game two and to win the series for Tennessee. So Gilbert's, I mean, his heroics go all the way back to the second SEC series this year, and he was huge in that series. So, you know, I think it was only the second, if I remember correctly, only the second time in school history that we had ever swept LSU in baseball. So, you know, in all three games, I believe, were one-run games. So both of these teams are evenly matched. They have good hitting. They play solid defense. Tennessee, I think, is the better team. But they've got to play solid baseball. They still have to concentrate and take it one pitch and one inning at a time. I know that sounds elementary, but it's absolutely true. And every single coach at this point in time in postseason play will tell you that every pitch and every inning is very important. There's going to be some highs and there are going to be some lows and some ebb and flows in this game. But the good news is on Saturday, Tennessee has the last at bat. You know, when Tennessee has at least one more out to give, magical stuff happens with this team. It's incredible.
Will they technically be the home team in every game?
I believe that there'll be a home team tomorrow night. I believe LSU is the home team in game two.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they flip in game three, but I think if you have a good enough regular season, you should be the home team should it get to a third game, because that's the advantage of playing at home and hosting the Super, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought about that until you said, you know, that Tennessee will have the last at-bat tomorrow. Yeah. But
they'll be the home team tomorrow night for sure, yes.
Well, it just feels like game one in a small series. This isn't best of seven, right? I mean, you lose game one in those.
It's an SEC series with huge implications, obviously.
But it seems you don't want to lose game one. I mean, obviously you want to win, but you just put yourself in such a hole.
It's definitely a hole. I believe this is the ninth time that the SEC has matched up in super regional play, two SEC teams in super regional play. And I believe the previous eight matchups, the home team has won.
Mm.
So maybe that's a good omen.
Let's hope so. It looks like Vanderbilt's probably going to go. They beat East Carolina.
That's only one game, Russell. It's only one game.
Yeah, they got lighter going tomorrow.
I know, you're right.
They're going. Let's not worry about that, though. But so many SEC teams right now, Rusty. I mean, we knew the league was dominant, and it just seems like with Tennessee not only joining the party, it's not like we snuck in, right? I mean, they have announced their presence with authority, and it just seems like the league is more dominant than ever, and LSU's going to get better, right? Because they're going to go hire a new coach, and it just seems like it's growing exponentially right now.
I mean, it's the popularity. SEC in baseball and football, I mean, the rest of the country's jealous. The College World Series, I don't know how many teams are going to get there, but obviously it's going to be dominated by the SEC unless something drastic happens that I'm not aware of. But, I mean, they should have the most teams in the tournament, which they did. They should have the most teams in Omaha, which they typically do. And it seems like ever since – I think the first year that they went to the best two out of three in the championship round at Omaha was 2008. And I believe an SEC team has played in the championship round every year but two, I believe. That's correct. And so that just shows you how strong the league is. They're either winning the national championship or playing for the national championship.
Talking with Rusty Enser this afternoon on the show. Rusty, it seems like the Tony Vitello leaving talk has pretty much died down. I did see where the Pat Casey thing, it looks like that's going to fall through at LSU, so I guess that job's still open. But we've seen a lot of comments from him the past 2 weeks in particular that really kind of hint towards him being back and being in it for the long haul in Knoxville. We already talked about, you know, do you think this level of enthusiasm that we've seen is sustainable? What do you feel like we're at with the facility and where Lindsey Nelson, you know, if you can look through your crystal ball, what are we looking at this time next year if we're still playing baseball this time?
Well, I mean, for me, and I don't know if it can happen this quick, but I'd love to see some sort of a crane the middle of next week at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I don't know if it can happen that quick, but that would make me happy. I think Tony is – I think he likes it in Knoxville. I haven't talked to him personally about any of this, by the way.
Okay.
But I think he likes it here. I think he knows that he's put in a lot of hard work, and his hard work is now paying off, and that he could build something really special here. You know, if he were to leave, I wouldn't blame him if he left to go to LSU because it's certainly a national brand. They have the facilities, and people love baseball in Baton Rouge. But if he took that job, he would always be compared to Skip Bertman, or he would always be compared to Paul Maneri. I mean, around here, if he stays for 15 or 20 years, there's really nobody to compare him to. Now, that's not a shot at Rod Delmonico, because Rod was a great coach here. I mean, let's just give some facts. He took three teams to the College World Series, which is phenomenal, okay? But what Rod didn't do was he didn't have a sustained winner each and every year. Now, it was different back then when you know, SEC baseball, when the calendar turned into the 2000s is when it really started taking off and things like that. But Rod didn't have a sustained winner. And I think that's what Tony would like to try to do here. I mean, he could be the General Nealon of Tennessee baseball if he stays here 15 years. He'll be the winningest coach in Tennessee baseball history. And, you know, they'll, I guess, name a street after him or put a statue of him up someplace. You know, it's kind of like the guy who's going to follow Nick Saban. Who wants to do that? The person who followed Pat Summitt. I mean, that's a tough gig. So I think he's in the right spot. You know, I hope he thinks that too.
Vitello said this week that he wanted Delmonico to be there to throw out the first pitch.
I think that'd be awesome.
I do too. Apparently, there's some sort of NCAA thing that they couldn't make it happen. But I feel like enough time has passed there, Rusty. It's time, like you said. I mean, three trips to Omaha. That dude. If he doesn't want to be around the program, that's one thing, but it's probably time to recognize that and honor him, right?
Listen, his record speaks for himself. Here's what I'd like for them to do is to bring him back and let him coach one game next year, a midweek game against a patsy, so Rod can get one more win because he has 699 wins, and 700 sounds just so much better, you know, as an all-time winningest coach. So, let him get one more win, let him throw up the first pitch, whatever. But, it's time that we give Rod Delmonico certainly his praise and his due because, hey, his record speaks for himself.
Is that even a possibility? Can you do that? Could they let him?
No.
But cool. No, Rusty wants it to happen.
Oh, man.
He is the General Nealon of baseball, isn't he?
I mean, seriously.
He built the program.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's everybody's catching Rod Delmonico.
Rusty, before we let you out of here, what do you think? Give us your official prediction for the weekend.
I really don't want to have to deal with my day job and trying to watch baseball on Monday. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see Tennessee win two in a row. I think Tennessee will certainly win. It's been a great run, and I don't want to see it end right now. This is a special group. They've done some special things this year, and I think this team deserves to go to Omaha and celebrate a little bit more.
Will you be in Omaha if they are? And if so, can I have a ride?
Yeah, I'm going to do my dead level best. No, Russell, there will be no riding. You can certainly try to grab a seat on the airplane, but I am not driving to Omaha, Nebraska. There's no way.
Oh, come on, man. We got tunes. We got chips.
No, I mean,
Rusty's
told you this, dude.
I know you got that 1994.
You got the van, Tony Vantello.
Yeah. The Vantello.
Plenty of room. Plenty of room to stretch out and back.
I'd rather fly with Rusty.
Yeah. You and I'll fly, Russell, we'll meet you and Rick out there in the van or something, okay? You can take us to the nearest Omaha Steakhouse.
Exactly. There you go. Are you going to be at the games this weekend?
Yes, I am going tomorrow night. Looking forward to being there as a fan. I enjoyed it last Friday night when Drew Gilbert hit one into the night. That was pretty special. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Well, you have fun, and hopefully, like you said, we'll get this thing done on Sunday. We could sit back and relax on Monday and talk about it.
Yep, let's get this thing done in two and then relax and get our plane reservations. That gives us one extra day to plan ahead, right?
There you go.
All right.
Thanks, Rusty.
Thanks, Russell. Talk to you later.
Yeah, Rusty Enzer making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
Boy, he's put in a lot of work on the drive over the years. He just about put that program on his back at different points.
I'm happy for him, man.
Heck yeah.
He was able to walk away at the top of his game. He pulled a Michael Jordan retiring from the Bulls from the broadcast thing, and now he's just a fan. He can do predictions.
He'll hang out with his former teammates and his friends and just enjoy watching Tennessee baseball. But yeah,
put all that objectivity stuff aside.
Yeah. But he did a lot. I mean, I remember. I mean, Fridays in the spring, even on some of the lean years, Rusty he'd answer the bell. He'd talk about Tennessee baseball and be positive about it.
It's been a long road to get here, and
hope both of you guys enjoy it.
Should be a fun scene tomorrow. All right, we're going to take a quick break right here. We'll come right back. If you want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show today, 546-8200. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Are you
epic French Open semifinal match. Djokovic and Nadal going at it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was an epic appearance by Rusty Enser.
That too. We're watching tennis, but we're talking baseball on the Drive this afternoon. Rusty Enser, Bear, Rick, what did you learn?
Rusty's enjoying his retirement.
He ain't going to come with Tony Vantello with us.
No.
That's still
disappointing. You ain't getting Rusty.
That's my
freaking
takeaway.
Enser.
That's fine.
To drive 14 hours with you $2 on a stinky-ass van. No,
I don't
he's going to be
Rusty, 6'3", 6'4", however tall he is, taking up
he's
space
in my
van.
He's a big dude.
Van.
Yeah.
I'll
he's going to fly out there to Omaha, and he'll either be poolside at the hotel or at a steakhouse having probably a cold beer and a steak by the time you two roll in.
By the time we even get to Memphis, he's gonna have a cold beer in hand.
He'll be talking to the important people.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I will say one thing that I loved hearing from Rusty was a little bit of what he was saying about the home team and the Super Regionals. That's very much how I felt. It's like, hey, if you get to this far and you're the home team, you should be given home field advantage for all three games it played. I don't understand that. Maybe a little bit more for the Regionals, but dude, once you get to the Super Regionals, your final time to play at home for fans, it's got to be unanimous across the 3 days. I don't know what it actually is, but it just doesn't make sense if it wasn't.
We were the road team at home against Liberty on Saturday.
On Saturday, correct.
Yeah.
And that was weird.
It was weird.
Like, there's just no way. If you are the home team, if you're the number one seed, if you're playing in front of your
fans. I don't have
fans,
a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, but sir,
I do a little
sir,
bit.
So we. Friday wouldn't have happened. Friday wouldn't have happened if you inexplicably were the away team in that situation.
Well, I don't think they would make the host. I mean, I think there is an advantage of being the host. We'll be the home team, I believe, on tomorrow, and then we would be the home team on Monday if necessary. So we're still playing at home. We still have home field advantage, and then we have two of the three games where we're the last to bat, and really that shouldn't matter. I mean, if you're good team, you go out there and you shut them down.
The thing you have to keep in mind, Rick, this is like normally if this were like pro sports, they'd go back and forth between parks.
It's true.
And you can't do that in college.
That
it's a money and time situation, but I don't have a problem with that.
That's fair. I can definitely see that part once that's explained, but I don't know, man. This team is just really good at the end of the games, and so I'll take any bottom of the ninth that we can get at the plate. I'll take every single one.
I don't think it's so much they're good at the end of the game. They don't quit.
How about we not need to bat in the bottom of the ninth? How about we go out there and not have to
sweat
it out?
How sweet would it be to run rule LSU
if you
tomorrow
remember
night?
A week
do they
ago,
have that? Do we have run rule
in
this scenario?
Florida got run ruled.
But that was the SEC tournament.
No, they got run ruled last weekend.
They lost like 19-0.
Yeah.
They stopped that game early?
No, well, they had to go on like that hour and a half long rain delay when they went down 19-1. But I'm pretty sure that game got run ruled.
I mean, that would be nice.
Yeah,
could they have given Vanderbilt
some kind of modification,
an easier road to Omaha? You want to talk about just being gifted something? I mean, I realize they're good and all that.
The East Carolina team is pretty good. I mean,
they aren't Wright State good.
They're still playing. They won their regional.
Who else? Do you think if you had exchanged Wright State for ECU, would Wright State have won that?
I don't know. I just look at it from you've got Rocker and Leiter, man. If you don't make Omaha, it almost doesn't matter when you've got those two dudes throwing for you, and you've got pretty much your whole team on full ride scholarships. You should be.
How do they do that? Because they're a private school?
It's a long thing. I don't want to get into it. It's not the private school. It has to do with they can give extra – they can set the tuition a little bit lower, give extra scholarship monies, has something to do with their endowment. It's confusing. Nobody can explain it clearly, certainly not me.
So they're just openly cheating?
I don't know. They're cheating. I mean, they're – taking
they're giving their entire baseball team full scholarships. Why can't we?
It's a good question, Bear.
Have you ever thought about asking Coach about it?
It's a good question. I saw somebody, a lot of media people and fans talk about this, but I saw somebody who was really – it was Delmonico. In that interview he did with Volquest yesterday, he basically said, yeah, they're
yeah, I mean, I read it. That's where I heard it.
And you got to compete with that, so you got to be able to recruit out of state as well and all that stuff. That was like the most, quote-unquote, official guy that I'd ever heard acknowledge that publicly.
Well, sure.
Because they will tell you, Vandy will tell you, oh, that's they're way overstating it. We don't have players on full of scholarship. And so I don't know. I don't know, but they're good, man.
But after I read that article, it finally dawned on me that Tennessee baseball, until they hired Tony Vitello, was pretty much fumbling around the way Tennessee football has been.
How about this?
Fire a legendary coach, then have bad hire after bad hire.
This quote, man, I'm going to go ahead and take us to the Fan Run breaking news desk. This is a big quote right here.
Hello.
According to our Trey Wallace, LSU head coach Paul Maneri, quote, I want to apologize for those comments I made a few months ago. I didn't mean for any way to criticize Tennessee fans.
A little late for that, Paulie.
Walk the dog, my friend.
Why would you even say that? Like, it's only going to make it worse.
That's what I tell him right there. You're number one in my book, Paul. You're number one in my book. The hell out of here with your apology.
I mean, I guess if somebody asked him about that, which is probably going to happen, you have something right. Don't apologize, man. This is America and this is sports. You never apologize in sports.
It's not going to help.
It's going to make it worse.
Yeah, it's just pouring gasoline on it.
Hasn't that guy been on radio programs throughout the week so far? It feels so weird for him to come out on the Friday before the game. Be like, you know what? I do want to say this real quick before we go over that. I do want to apologize. I shouldn't have done that. That's my bad.
Should I not have done that?
I spoke at a turn.
If anybody had pointed out that kind of thing was frowned upon in this establishment, no. The way you respond to it, is, hey, look, man, we got swept. It was a heated series. Their crowd was rowdy and into it. Our crowd gets rowdy and into it. It's SEC baseball. It's great. I'm just glad we get a chance to come back and get another shot at them. And I know it's going to be an amazing atmosphere this weekend in Knoxville. That's what you say, man. You don't apologize. Ellis, we're the ones getting apologized, too.
After you said we were classless.
And bring it on, man. We are classless when it comes to that kind of stuff.
And we're going
to
get in anybody's head we can get into.
Just like their fans are.
It's not our fault your first baseman gets rolled up so easy.
Well, like Vitello said on the show this week, Trey Morgan went off on us.
He did.
Is that the kid from Spring Hill?
I think he had a home run and two doubles in that series. And he was really good. So, I mean, he's probably going to be all kind of jacked up and psyched up and motivated to perform against us, but wow, that's an interesting comment.
Maneri. What's he up to, Russ? I don't trust him.
He says, quote, they've added some bleachers. Something tells me it will be a raucous crowd.
Hopefully. I almost hope we embarrass ourselves.
Trey says Mikael Hilliard will start for LSU Saturday night.
6 foot, 150?
What are his stats? Let me pull those up. I'm going to get into that because that's a little interesting. Vitello was speculating that it was going to be Marceau.
So you got Hilliard, the right-handed pitcher you're talking about?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is, he's 6 foot 150 on the season so far. Looks like he has a 4.56 ERA. His win-loss is 6 and undefined. I've never seen that before.
You going to send a guy 6 foot 150 out there to throw at that lineup we've got? I mean, I don't know.
2018 freshman All-SEC.
I mean, you know he's good. He ain't going to be playing at LSU if he's not. He certainly wouldn't be getting them.
Coming into this game, he's won four decisions in a row, although he only pitched 1 and 4 innings in the last two appearances, but those were against Oregon and Central Connecticut. He's beaten a couple good teams, beaten Texas A&M, beaten Alabama, most specifically beaten Arkansas. He pitched 5 innings in that game on, it looks like, May 1st. And had a pretty darn good outing. So he's beaten some good teams before.
Veteran.
We need to rock him and get into their bullpen tomorrow.
It looks like we faced off against him. On the 27th, we lost that game.
Hey.
He pitched 3 innings.
All right, a lot to unpack there, man. We'll get back to that. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up. It's Fan Run Radio.
Blue Water Climate Control wants to thank Fan Run Radio listeners who've been following